where we really need to add to our repertoire.
A month ago, in a ballroom at a hotel conference center in Madison, social distancing wasn't even in the vocabulary of most people. The coronavirus wasn't yet a threat in Wisconsin, and hundreds of people packed into a convention to talk about and hear about PFAS.
It is the hot ticket issue right now.
The topic of PFAS, a group of man-made chemicals found in an increasing number of sources of drinking water in the U.S., is only growing hotter.
It was brought up that PFAS was becoming more predominant in the news, especially in our sister state, Michigan.
That's Chris Lilick, an environmental health specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. She's also a hydrogeologist and helped organize this crowded conference put on by the American Institute of Professional Geologists.
I'm very proud of them. For them to take the time to be interested.
The PFAS-focused conference drew state workers, local water operators, vendors, environmental consultants, and lawyers. It shined a light on how different the PFAS landscape is state by state in America. Michigan, which Lily referenced, started identifying and dealing with PFAS issues much earlier than Wisconsin, says Bridget Kelly, the Wisconsin DNR's program coordinator for emerging contaminants.
We turn to Michigan as a model for a lot of things because they are they've been on this path for I think a little bit longer than we have, and we hear from the public that they find that website to be useful.
That website, it represents the work done by the Michigan PFAS Action Response Team, a state government group that's forcefully addressed contamination in the state. The website includes a map of PFAS test results of every community water system in Michigan. By contrast, Wisconsin doesn't even mandate testing for PFAS, and the DNR has testing results for less than 10 communities in the state. Kelly points out that Michigan has poured tens of millions of dollars into PFAS response. In Wisconsin, it's more like tens of thousands, and it has no map.
Wisconsin would be interested in that kind of an initiative, but until we are allocated those funds, we don't really have the opportunity to do that. I think that we would if we were allocated the funding.
Wisconsin is taking action, with the DNR addressing drinking water contamination in places like Rhinelander. State-organized advisory groups work to find solutions, but they do so without enforceable PFAS regulations. Some states have numerical limits on PFAS in water, some don't. Ned Witte, an environmental lawyer, says states are frustrated there isn't more federal guidance. PFAS isn't even designated as a hazardous substance by the EPA.
Identifying PFAS as a hazardous substance would create some basis of normalcy across the country, so that everyone would be sort of playing by the same rule book. Right now, as I was talking about this morning, we're dealing instead with a real patchwork.
While Wisconsin, like most states, focuses mostly on PFAS and water, North Carolina is going even further.
That's one of the reasons why I'm here today and sharing our story that, what you might think is solely a water issue may not be solely a water issue.
That's Mike Abrazinskas, the director of the North Carolina Division of Air Quality. His department found spikes in PFAS family compounds in water upstream from a chemical plant. Abrazinskas' scientist guessed the contaminant, called Gen X, was getting into the air, then falling back to the earth as rainwater.
There were no off-the-shelf methods for monitoring Gen X in ambient air. So we had to get a little creative.
5-gallon plastic hardware store buckets collected rainwater, which confirmed what Abrazinskas hypothesized. The plant was emitting PFAS, which got into groundwater after falling as rain.
We're not aware that anyone else in the United States did what we did in terms of PFAS compounds. I think we were the first to do that in the U.S.
The discovery led to $12 million in fines for plant operator Chemours, a spinoff of DuPont. The company also agreed to provide house filtration, reverse osmosis, or other water purification for all consumers in the area. The message in that conference ballroom? PFAS is in the air. It's in the water. And, according to event organizer Chris Lilek, it's in the consciousness of smart and motivated people, state by state, person by person.
The excitement is there. You know, let's continue to do this right, getting the people together, listening.
We're making good gains at service.
For WXPR's The Stream, I'm Ben Meyer in Madison.